A lot of us have identities tied to our jobs, and that is really difficult to lose. It feels very stressful. It feels like a loss of self. It's very ingrained in our culture, unfortunately, for work to equal life. So since many of us are still actively deconstructing that, this idea of a career change means changing everything, changing your entire identity, your entire life.
If you would have told me 10 years ago that I'd leave my career in fashion, become a voice actor, I'd not have believed you for a second. But the reality is I no longer glorified grinding it out, and I started to prioritize my mental health over everything else. I was having panic attacks, I was crying almost every day, and woke up with a sense of dread and just no longer excited for my life. I felt deep in my bones that I'd be living an unfulfilled life if I didn't make that change. Hey everyone, welcome back to the new season of Merging Into Life. I'm your host, Sabrina Parati. You know, when people talk about career changes, the advice can sound pretty simple. Update your resume, network more, take the leap. But for most people, it's not that straightforward. There's the anxiety of leaving something familiar, the pressure to make the right move, and the very real question of, how do I even do this? Well, today we're talking about what career change actually looks like now, the myths that keep people stuck, the signs it may be time to move on, and how to pivot thoughtfully without feeling like you're starting from scratch. Our guest is career coach Sam DeMace, who you probably remember from season 2, where she shared her advice on building career confidence. I am so excited to have her on the show again, so let's dive in. Hi, Sam. Welcome back. We are so excited to have you. Your episode from season 2 was such a hit, so thank you for agreeing to hop back on with me today.
Thank you so much, Sabrina, for having me. I'm excited.
I'm really curious to get your opinion on something that we all inevitably go through at some point in our life, which is a career transition. So before we dive into all the nitty-gritty and the how-to, Sam, what is one main message you want our friend listening who is currently in a transition to take away from our conversation today?
I would say the number one thing is career pivoting is common. Know that it's commonplace. It is not something novel. It is not something you can't do. It is very common, and don't let anything hold you back because you can do it.
I love that. That's a perfect segue into what I want to talk about first, which is dismantling the narrative that we all have around changing careers. I think for too long, there's been this very limited, static narrative of like what a good career looks like. How often are people coming to you right now seriously thinking about making a career pivot? Is it more so than in the past? About the same, less than? Like what are we looking at?
It is more so than the past. I find with every year that goes on, I see more people wanting to pivot careers, more people wanting to make a change. And I think that's just rooted in the economy, the way things are moving so quickly. I mean, it's really difficult right now to even survive with just one job. So traditional career paths used to look like ladders. I'm sure you've heard the term career ladder, which is something that you climb all the way to the top. You start at entry level, and the hope is to work at the same company and make it all the way up to C-suite. That's the ladder. Now, careers look more like mosaics. And a mosaic is a piece of art that has different elements collaged together. So a mosaic career, instead of being a vertical ladder, it has pieces interlocking, connected. So you might be a freelancer at the same time that you're a corporate worker. You might have your own business and work part-time corporate. So it's about puzzle piecing together a mosaic of your career rather than climbing the traditional ladder. That's why we see people survival stacking and having multiple jobs. So that requires us to pivot and be agile. So it's becoming more common for sure for people to pivot. And I think Gen Z and millennials have really paved the way for that in the way that they have, you know, taken the corporate ladder and really broken that ladder and turned it into something that looks more like a mosaic. I think careers look more like mosaics, portfolios, as opposed to ladders like they used to.
I love that. That's a great way to just reframe, like I said, something that used to be so static, like a ladder. It's now so diverse and evolved, such as a mosaic. So when people are coming to you wanting to switch careers, what are the common problems that you hear people coming to you with?
There's a few key drivers when it comes to making a switch. Number one, I would say, is burnout. Mental health fatigue, burnout. And when you're in a job for a long time, that is common. It's a common feeling. It can happen. And that burnout can be a result of repetitive work. It can be a result of a toxic manager relationship that leads to burnout, overworking yourself and not having time for your hobbies. Those are a couple of the reasons. Some folks also come to me, you know, with a desire to use skill sets that they haven't been able to use on the job. This may have been their dream job when they were 25. But it no longer is, and they have other skills and other passions. The other biggest driver is a core value mismatch. When you realize that your employer has different core values than you do, that will slowly eat away at you and cause you to want to leave and make a change. So those are just a couple of the reasons that I see.
Those three buckets kind of really sum up all the reasons why people want to make a change. Now, if making a change was easy, we would all do it the next day, but there's clearly roadblocks and challenges that we come across that prevent us, even though it's in our best interest to make the change. What are some of those common challenges you see?
There's definitely a few things. I think number one is just the fear of the unknown and a lack of confidence that comes with that. So I see a lot of my clients and people in my community, they have a desire to make a change, but they think, is it too late for me? I invested all of this money, time, and energy into my current career. Is it even worth it for me to make a change at this point? I think it's also about tying your identity to your current job. A lot of us have identities tied to our jobs, and that is really difficult to lose. It feels very stressful. It feels like a loss of self. It's very ingrained in our culture, unfortunately, for work to equal life. So since many of us are still actively deconstructing that, this idea of a career change means changing everything, changing your entire identity, your entire life. So for people to bust through that and to break out of that, it does require a lot of deconstructing, a lot of conversation, and a lot of confidence.
What about the emotions of like shame and guilt? Like the guilt of like, oh, I should have liked this job, or like I could have done things differently, or are those like popular limiting beliefs as well that hold people back?
For sure, especially in careers that are people forward. So for folks who are in careers like teaching, you know, education at any level, nonprofit work, anything that's super human and mission focused, transitioning out of that, you do experience a lot of guilt because you care about the mission, you care about the cause, you care about your patients, your clients, your people, your community that you're serving. So it goes beyond just exiting a job, and it goes into more of a feeling of exiting community, letting people down. And there is a lot of guilt and shame that comes with that. That is a tough, tough thing to do.
Oh, my heart goes out to those people. Now, I want to go back to what you said earlier about a career now looks more like a mosaic instead of like a ladder upward trajectory. Can you go into more detail on what that means?
You've seen this shift happening, I would say, over the last 5 to 10 years, and it's still ongoing. So the shift is still happening culturally and in the professional world. Employers used to really incentivize and reward employees to stay long term, whether that's a 401k match, a pension, you know, incredible benefits, incredible upward growth. That is very difficult to find in today's job market and just the reality of what we have. That is something that changes the loyalty factor. So people don't necessarily want to work for a company super long term if there aren't any benefits to that. Young people want to switch jobs because statistically they make more money when they switch, and there isn't a value add to being loyal. I used to be a recruiter. It used to be a little bit strange to see people who job hopped. Now I would say job hopping is quite normal. So I actually love to see the way Gen Z and millennials have paved the way for that and said, you know what, I want to make more money, so I'm going to career hop. I'm going to have a portfolio or mosaic career.
So we've started to hopefully change the narrative around career changes and normalize the fact that it is okay to switch jobs, and it's actually just part of a well-lived full life to have a very fluid career instead of a static one. So now I want to talk about the mindset around knowing when it's time to go and the complications that can arise from that. Because like I said, if it was easy, we would all do it. So once someone starts questioning their path, how do they know that this is just a temporary rough patch that will pass or something that is more permanent that requires a permanent change?
Consistency. If it's one rough patch, that will pass. If it is a consistent rough patch that keeps going and going and going for 6 months and counting, 3 months and counting, and there's no coming out of it, that is a signal. If you're struggling to wake up in the morning, I know this happened to me, struggling to wake up in the morning, struggling to get out of bed, that's a signal that, you know, this job is probably not for you. It's taking a toll on your mental health, on your well-being. Losing interest in your hobbies or just having no time to work on your hobbies and to enrich your life is another one. Losing connection with your friends, family, people close to you because you're so in the work that you can't invest in anything else going on in your personal life. That's another one. But what my number one thing that I say to people is really just your intuition. Trust your intuition because it's usually screaming at you. So shut off all the noise. Think about what your intuition is telling you. And if you're feeling exhausted and not like yourself anymore in a consistent way, it is definitely time to make a change.
That sounds like me when I was completely burnt out, and that manifested where like every morning I would wake up with a pit in my stomach. I would be crying almost every day after work. And like you said, the consistency aspect, this went on for almost 6 months and I literally like lost myself. Your mental health is not okay for a prolonged period of time. It's time to make a change.
100%. I'm glad you shared that example because I think it's normalized a bit. Like folks are coming to me and they're like, I'm crying in the bathroom at work. I'm venting to my best friend every single day about my toxic boss. It's like, well, just put up with it, deal with it, it'll pass. You can get another job. You can leave. The best time to look for another job is while you have a job, even if your job is horrible. And if you feel like you can just take away some of that energy, give them less. I hate to see it normalized as it has been sometimes, quite normalized to stay in a toxic environment.
And it's also like pushing ourselves to be who we're not going to be. Like if you're in a job that isn't aligned with your values and your priorities, it's like you're trying so hard to be something you're not. But sometimes it's you just need to find a better fit for what you said earlier, your lifestyle, your values, your priorities in life.
Yeah, I think a lot of people aren't necessarily taking the time to do that or feel like they don't deserve that. But when you're making a pivot is actually the best time to reassess all of that. You get this opportunity to kind of start from scratch. And I recommend writing it all down, like what are my core values? What do I want my life to look like? Do I want to be working remotely so I can travel? Do I have all these other hobbies that I want to do? Do I want to start a business or a freelance project on the side and have room for that? You know, all those things you can outline and lay out and then figure out the right choice moving forward.
One thing that comes up again and again when people change careers is uncertainty about timing, money, and the unexpected stuff no one plans for. Well, that's where having the right support system really matters. A AAA membership is built for those moments. From roadside assistance when you need help getting where you're going to fuel discounts and travel benefits that stretch your budget further, AAA provides practical support you can rely on. With options to match your lifestyle, a AAA membership is about confidence and peace of mind on the road and beyond. Visit AAA.com to explore what membership can offer you. I want to talk about loyalty for a second. What is your opinion on why so many people are loyal to a company that to the point where some people don't even take all their PTO or like their sick days?
A lot of people do feel that way. And I think it comes down to like job security and a fear. I think it's a fear-based mindset. For some folks, you know, that is real and that is valid. You're worried that you're going to lose your job. There is that fear. You know, I want to maintain loyalty. I want to maintain, you know, make sure my work is really great and I'm delivering above and beyond. I think like that is starting to dissolve because it works both sides, you know, and when companies aren't delivering and aren't being loyal in return, that facade starts to crumble and people start to challenge and question the system.
Gosh, fear really just has a tendency to just take over everything. And like another way that fear can stop somebody from making a much needed corporate job change, say somebody is 40, 50, 60 years old, and this is one of the fear-based questions circling in their mind, what do you say to that person?
Something I always think about personally is that Julia Child didn't write her first cookbook until she was 50, just saying. So a lot of people don't lean into their strengths until later, and it's common. It's a lot more common than you think. I would also say in 2026, the average professional life is more like 50 or 60 years in length, where it used to be more like 40 working years. But because of the economic realities of today, the cost of living, people are working longer. So when you turn 40, 50, or even 60, you're not finishing up your career like you used to be. You're in what I would call an encore career. So you have your initial career and then you have your encore career, which is a lot of runway left to play with, where you can use your experience, use your skills, and pivot to something else. You have a lot of expertise under your belt at that point. I think a lot of older folks kind of think, well, they're not going to hire me because they want someone younger. Some companies, that's true. So you have to position yourself as the expert and go after opportunities that value expertise. I believe there was recently a study of midlife career shifters, which found an 82% success rate for those over 45 who made the switch, and they reported higher job satisfaction and wage jumps. So people are actively out here doing it.
So our friend listening has hopefully now changed their mindset around changing careers throughout their lifetime, has identified signs that it's no longer a rough patch and time for a more permanent change. They know how to move through the moments of doubt about switching jobs, and now they feel confident to finally make the move, which is awesome. So now they're probably like, okay, Sam, now what do I do? Like, how do I make this move? So I want to talk about that. You've said career changes are often not an A to Z leap, but more of like an A to C move. Like what do you mean by that?
When it comes to career changes today, or the career change that feels easiest, where you can lean into your highest level of confidence, is an A to C move or a parallel pivot. So for example, an A to Z pivot would be like going from a marketing manager to a surgeon. You have very few overlapping skills and you don't have the education requirements, right? There's like years of schooling and experience required to break in to be a surgeon from a marketing manager. But an A to C would be going from, let's say, a teacher to a corporate learning designer. You have the skills, you have the experience, and you can tell a story that links the two. So there's so many opportunities in that A to Z realm. A lot of people think they're not qualified to go from A to C, but you absolutely are. It's just about how you tell your story and how you make meaningful links between the experience you have and the job you want.
Now, preparing for that, I want to talk about different preparation strategies that somebody can do while they're in their current job, because of course, we're not advocating for somebody to just quit tomorrow without a plan. So first, I want to talk about how the approach is different for someone from somebody going into the same exact industry, just a different company, compared to somebody who is switching industries. How do those two approaches differ in terms of preparation strategies while you're in your current job?
So while you're in your job, if you're making a bigger pivot, if you're switching industries, switching roles, making like that bigger A to C change, I always recommend having real conversations with people who are in the job you want. Because the last thing you want to do is start applying or start preparing to change without understanding the reality of the day-to-day of that job. So start with real conversations. You have to really do your research. You don't want to end up in the same situation that you're trying to escape. I would say to do a lot of shadowing if you can at your current company. If they're supportive of that, you can shadow people from other departments, other teams to start getting an idea of what the work looks like. You have to take control of your story with a pivot. People ask me this all the time, like, do I need to hide the fact that my experience is different? Do I need to apologize? Like, the gut instinct for most people is to apologize for missing experience or not having the traditional route, but you actually want to do the opposite in conversation with the employer or in your cover letter. You actually want to say, no, my background in XYZ makes me uniquely qualified to tackle this role because ABC.
Now, as we wrap up, I need to talk about the job market. So when we are recording this, it is a tough market out there. We are in a 6-year low in job openings. So what is some encouraging words you can give our listeners on how to approach this type of market?
There's no beating around the bush. This is a tough job market. It's very difficult. I think my number one piece of advice is to narrow down your job search. So if you want to see success and you've been frustrated in your search because you've just been applying for everything, erase that strategy and start again. Niche down your resume. Be very specific, hyper-specific about your skill sets like we talked about earlier. And be very targeted about only applying to roles that match your skill sets. You will get more bites. You will get more interviews than doing the generalist approach. So the generalist approach in this market does not work, but the specialist approach does. And anybody can specialize. It just takes a lot of self-reflection and a little bit of work of organizing your search, but specialize and you will get better results. There are bright spots in the market for people who know their strengths.
We've talked about a lot today. So thank you for taking the time and spending the time with me. And I love everything that we've talked about. But if there's one thing that you had to leave our listeners with today, what would it be?
The one thing I would leave listeners with today is take ownership of your strengths and do it loudly.
All right, now we are headed into our mailbag segment. And this is an exciting segment where listeners of the podcast and AAA members have a chance to ask their questions. I like my job, but I hate my new boss. Ooh, what do I do? I'm 27 and work as a project manager. I left my last job for this one because the pay and benefits were better. And honestly, I really liked it at first. My old manager was supportive and trusted me to handle things on my own. But my new boss is the total opposite. He's very cold, always, quote, strictly business, and sometimes just rude when I ask questions. I don't want to leave because the job itself is good, but I also don't know how long I can keep doing this. Oof, Sam, that's rough. What do you say to that?
That is hard. I hear it all the time with clients and community and friends. This is something that comes up constantly. You know, we don't want to normalize it, but you need to know your limits. You need to know when enough is enough and you can't take it anymore. I always recommend if you're comfortable, depending on the environment your boss has created, there could be an opportunity to open up a dialogue with your boss. It can be hard. It can be scary. But if you love the job, it could also absolutely be worth it to just open up an honest dialogue. And when you do that, just be very clear about what's challenging and what you need to change. So in this case, it sounds like communication style, among other things. So if you're comfortable, approach your boss, open up a dialogue and say, hey, here's what I need in order to do my best work. Always make it about the work. It's not about them being difficult. It's about the work. Here's what I would need to make my work the best it can possibly be. And then make some suggestions about how you can alter the communication to move away from, you know, micromanagement, whatever it may be. That is always a good first step. The other step to take is if you enjoy the company and you enjoy the role, but not the boss, is to ask human resources to move to a different boss within the same team, within the same company, just a different leader. I've seen a lot of people find success with that. What I don't want you to do is to stay in this job long term with a difficult, toxic boss who is not going to change, because you can't change that. Nobody can change that. They will not change either. So take your talents elsewhere. It's great to look for a new job while you already have a job. So start that process and don't let it go on too long.
So Sam, for people who love listening to you and want to just like learn more about you, learn more from you, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at A Power Mood. And there you can find the link to join my newsletter where I talk about what's going on in the job market and how to own your strengths.
Sam, you are such a pleasure. Thank you so, so much. I really hope this gave everyone listening the encouragement to just go after it. Sending everybody listening good vibes in this market. Thank you so much.
Exactly. Thank you so much for having me, Sabrina.
Sam, thank you so much for joining me. Okay, let's wrap this up with a few big takeaways. One, career changes are normal and you are not behind, broken, or doing life wrong if you want something different. too. If your job is making you miserable on a consistent basis, don't ignore that. And 3, you don't need to leap from A to Z overnight. Start with what Sam said best. Know your strengths, own them loudly, and let that guide your next move. Your career does not have to look like a ladder. It can look like a mosaic, and honestly, that might be way more interesting. Career change is rarely just about finding a new title. It's about paying attention to what's no longer working, getting honest about what you want next, and taking small, intentional steps toward it. As Sam reminded us, pivoting doesn't mean starting from scratch, and there's no age limit on building a career that fits who you are now. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are not necessarily the views of AAA Northeast, AAA, and/or its affiliates.